Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, National Park Service Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On March 22, 2016, the Supreme Court decided Sturgeon v. Frost. Sturgeon challenged a National Park Service ban on the operation of hovercraft on the National River, part of which falls within the Yukon-Charley River National Preserve. The state of Alaska then intervened, challenging NPS's authority to require its researchers to obtain a permit before engaging in studies of chum and sockeye salmon on the Algonac River, part of which falls within the boundaries of the Katmai National Park and Preserve. Sturgeon and Alaska contended that the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act precludes NPS from regulating activities on state-owned lands and navigable waters that fall within the boundaries of National Park System units in Alaska. The district court ruled in favor of the federal government, and the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit affirmed that judgment as to Sturgeon, but ordered that Alaska's case be dismissed for lack of standing. The question before the Supreme Court was whether ANILCA prohibits the National Park Service from exercising regulatory control over state, native corporation, and private Alaska land physically located within the boundaries of the National Park System. By a vote of 8-0, the Supreme Court vacated the judgment of the Ninth Circuit and remanded the case. Chief Justice Roberts delivered the opinion for a unanimous court, rejecting the Ninth Circuit's reading of ANILCA. Taken as whole, the court indicated, ANILCA contemplates the possibility that all the land within the boundaries of conservation system units in Alaska may be treated differently from federally managed preservation areas across the country, and that non-public lands within the boundaries of those units may be treated differently from public lands within the unit. To discuss the case, we have the Honorable Gail Norton, who served as the 48th U.S. Secretary of the Interior. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Ms. Norton.
Sturgeon v. Frost presents an interesting example of the U.S. Supreme Court's handling of a case presenting controversial issues during the post-Scalia, pre-successor interim. Rather than attempt to resolve the most difficult issues, the court found a point of unanimous agreement that the Ninth Circuit decision was just plain wrong. The justices might not agree on the right outcome, but they recognized the wrong outcome when they saw it. The difficult issues were remanded for closer examination, perhaps to reach the court again when the membership is once more at full strength. I will review the cases presented to the Supreme Court, the way in which the court resolved the case, and the important issues that have been remanded to the lower courts. I will briefly review the facts and the positions of the parties. For more explanation of the details of the case, you can listen to my pre-decision podcast. A link to it should be available from the web page from this podcast. My previous podcast also covered the history of federal statutes governing Alaska. For our current purposes, the key point is that Alaska's vastness and the vastness of its designated federal conservation areas, its recent addition to the Union, and its unique wilderness characteristics caused Congress to treat Alaska differently than the lower 48 in a great many respects. To briefly summarize the facts, in 2007, a lone hunter, John Sturgeon, rode his hovercraft up the Nation River to do some moose hunting in the Alaska backcountry, as he had done on many occasions in the past. This river is a navigable tributary of the Yukon. The area in question is within the Yukon-Charley River's National Preserve, a unit of the National Park Service. When Sturgeon stopped his hovercraft on a sandbank, three National Park Service rangers approached. They informed him that the Park Service rules prohibited the use of hovercraft on the river. Rangers told him that he would be subject to prosecution if he brought his hovercraft into the National Preserve again. Eventually, Sturgeon decided to file suit to resolve the issue. In Alaska, whether the Park Service can prohibit activities that are otherwise allowed by the state on a river that the state claims to control is a major issue. The state of Alaska attempted to intervene as a party. Although that attempt was unsuccessful, the state participated as amicus curiae and presented oral argument at the U.S. Supreme Court. The state argued that federal control of state inholdings within federal areas, such as the submerged lands underlying navigable rivers, would affect their sovereign ability to govern, as well as having practical impacts. A holding allowing federal regulation would affect millions of acres of state, private, and native-owned land within parks, wilderness areas, and wildlife refuges. By one count, there are almost 19 million acres of non-federal inholdings within the boundaries of Alaska conservation units. Alaska Native corporations were especially concerned about this case because many of the inholdings are owned by them. Mining, oil and gas development, transportation, hunting, fishing, and other economic activity in Alaska were potentially affected by the lower court's decision. Sturgeon versus Frost appears to have reached the Supreme Court because of its importance to Alaska. The U.S. Supreme Court may be inclined to accept key cases from Alaska because there is otherwise no meaningful review of Ninth Circuit decisions interpreting major federal laws governing the state. The Supreme Court cannot wait for a split in the circuits when only the Ninth Circuit has jurisdiction. This is exactly that type of case. The Ninth Circuit decision, written by Judge Jacqueline Nguyen, ruled in favor of the federal government, finding that the Park Service could regulate navigable waters in Alaskan parks, just as they do waters in parks throughout the rest of the country. The primary statute at issue here is the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act. ANILCA, as the act is referred to, designated a number of parks, wildlife refuges, wilderness areas, wild and scenic rivers, and so forth. ANILCA essentially drew boundaries around large areas of land for federal conservation units, areas as large as entire states in the rest of the country. But Congress was not overly precise in its designations. Within those boundaries were tracts owned by Native corporations, private owners, or the state. Although these non-federal lands were within the boundaries, ANILCA said they were not to be considered part of the conservation unit. ANILCA distinguishes those non-federal lands from public lands. The latter are defined as lands, waters, and interests therein, the title to which is held by the federal government. This definition of public lands in Section 102 of ANILCA is relevant to Sturgeon versus Frost issues. Only public lands are considered to be truly parts of the conservation units to be administered by the federal agencies. Section 103 of ANILCA further specifies that these state, private, and native lands are not subject to the regulations that apply to public lands within the units. The Ninth Circuit's opinion in this case focuses on Section 103. The appellate court briefly set out the provision in its statutory history, saying, quote, Section 103C declares that state, native, and private-owned land shall not be subject to regulations applicable solely to public lands within such units. Accordingly, under Section 103's plain text, only public land lying within a conservation unit's boundaries may be subjected to unit-specific regulations. Non-federal land is expressly made exempt from such regulations. As the 1979 Senate report on ANILCA makes clear, non-federal land would not be subject to the management regulations, which may be adopted to manage and administer any national conservation unit which is adjacent to or surrounds the private or non-public lands, close quote. The Ninth Circuit further cited the legislative history of ANILCA and noted a key statement from the Senate report, quote, importantly for purposes of this case, in contrast to unit-specific regulations, federal laws and regulations of general applicability to both private and public lands are unaffected and would be applicable to private or non-federal public lands within conservation units, close quote. From this, the Ninth Circuit noted that the Park Service ban on hovercraft was a regulation that applied to Park Service areas across the country. The court, in essence, distinguished two types of Park Service regulations, those written for a specific conservation unit and those that apply on a nationwide basis. Private, state, and native lands within a unit would be exempt from those regulations written specifically for that conservation unit, but those non-federal lands would be subject to any Park Service regulations that apply nationally. Since the hovercraft ban was a national regulation, it would apply on non-federal lands and waters within Alaska parks. Under the Ninth Circuit approach, regulations arising from the land use plans for the Yukon-Charley Rivers National Preserve would not apply to, for example, a native corporation's lands within the park. but regulations promulgated by the Park Service in Washington, D.C., intended to address visitor needs at Yellowstone or the Gettysburg Battlefield or the National Mall, would apply with full force and effect to the Alaska Native land. The U.S. Supreme Court, in a unanimous decision authored by Chief Justice Roberts, found that the Ninth Circuit's interpretation of ANILCA was inconsistent with the text and context of ANILCA. Within the overall statutory scheme of ANILCA, Congress made clear that Alaska was to be treated differently. Chief Justice Roberts reviewed the history of Alaska. He noted that before statehood, over 98% of the land in Alaska was owned by the federal government. In order to foster future settlement and development, the Statehood Act of 1958 allowed the state to select 103 million acres of federal land for state ownership. Another 40 million acres were subsequently targeted for Alaska Natives. Congress then attempted to determine how the federal lands would be managed, including setting aside areas for parks, wildlife refuges, and wilderness. The Supreme Court's decision cites an interesting episode in setting the background for congressional decisions embodied in ANILCA. In the 1970s, many Alaskans were concerned that federal conservation areas would be subject to restrictive federal regulations. In Fairbanks, more than 2,500 Alaskans participated in the Great Denali McKinley Trespass. The protesters' goal was to break over 25 Park Service rules, including by hunting, snowmobiling, setting campfires, shooting guns, and unleashing dogs. A rider on horseback galloped through the crowd, acting the part of Paul Revere, yelling, "The feds are coming, the feds are coming." In response to Alaska settlement, ANILCA specified that the Park Service could not prohibit certain activities of particular importance to Alaskans. Alaskans were allowed to have access over federal lands, to travel to homes and villages, and were allowed to hunt and fish in national preserves. Chief Justice Roberts noted many ways in which the federal statutes recognized the unique situation of Alaska and attempted to foster federal regulation that would adjust to the state's differences. The Supreme Court's decision characterized the Ninth Circuit decision as topsy-turvy. The Ninth Circuit would, in essence, apply even more restrictive regulation to non-federal lands within Alaska Park Service areas than to the surrounding federal lands. The Park Service could tailor Alaska's specific provisions for its own lands, but would enforce lower 48 regulations on private, state, and native inholdings. This approach, the court found, was an implausible reading of ANILCA, creating contorted and counterintuitive measures. The court, in very clear terms, rejected the Ninth Circuit's tortured reading of ANILCA. It left open, though, many of the important questions raised by the parties. Yet to be determined is whether rivers where the state owns the submerged riverbed are subject to federal management under ANILCA. The federal government argues that it has the ability to regulate in this situation. It also uses the concept of Federal Reserve water rights as a mechanism for claiming an ownership interest and therefore a basis for regulatory authority. This would be an entirely new application of the Reserved Water Rights Doctrine, which has heretofore been used only as a measure of a right to use water. The court also did not address whether the Park Service's broad national statutory structure gives it authority to regulate any land, whatever the ownership, within the boundaries of its conservation units. These are important questions that will be addressed by the lower courts on remand. So the legal saga arising from a lone hunter's venture upstream in his hovercraft continues to wind its way through the courts.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.